30, and you're all ready for the class, but we're going to have a little care time. Is that okay? Did you bring more? Yeah. Dungo? Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Bana Chadi Jamuna Tira Bana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayom Vishnu Padpada Bahamsa Hari Vijayacharya Astatarasata Sisi Madhya's Divine Grace Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 So we're nearly finished with chapter 8. And we're just continuing with text 49 of chapter 8. This is from Jiva Goswami's Krishna Sandarbha. He writes, "What did Drona and Dara say?" They said, quote, to Lord Brahma, "Please permit us to be born on the earth planet so that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and Master of all planets will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in this material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service." Now, this is Canto 10, Chapter 8, but way back in Canto 1, Chapter 1, there's six questions asked by sages, and one of those questions that sets the tone for the whole of the Bhagavatam, in other words, expands that question answer, is, what's the purpose the Supreme Lord creates? What's the purpose for his entering within the creation? And the answer given there is, Canto 1, Chapter 2, is he comes to deliver the purified souls, those in pure goodness, to take them back home, back to Godhead. And there's a second reason. There's not everybody's ready to go back home, back to Godhead. They're not purified like most of us. So the second reason is he comes to attract them to create wonderful pastimes, like it says here, and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in this material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service. Something happened. What happened? It just jumped. This morning, we had some discussions about not only the pandemic is rocking the world, but racial injustice and culture, racial unfairness, cruelty is going on. I just found this out on the way in the car ride. This George Floyd is from Sugarbush, Sugarland. I didn't know that, but I guess you know that because you live here in Houston. So it's the talk of the town, not only in Houston, but you know, in ISKCON. What are we to do about that? And are you in touch with the TSI weekly discussions from different people? An American, black American devotee is now living in the UK, Prabhupada disciple. His name is Bhuta Bhavana. You know Bhuta Bhavana. He's like teddy bear. He's so lovely. Very, very Krishna conscious. Really amazing person. And his son is equally amazing. You know his son. Whew. Amazing. He's going to be addressing the youth, some ISKCON youth. It's actually started right here in Houston. The Sangha Initiative, it's called, TSI. It's like a youth group. They formed a corporation. And his topic, coincidentally, was prearranged, but racism, inequality, and Krishna. So I shared, after that, we had that little discussion this morning, a little video section question came at the end, where someone was going, youth today are saying, the older generation folks, you're not doing anything about this racial injustice and inequality problem, and you just say, well, you're not the body. So, you know, we think that's a cop-out from the older generation. What do you have to say about that? Not exactly like that, but pretty much like that. So, how do we address problems? Because, as we just read, and it's in Bhagavad Gita, and it's in our experience, this material existence has its pains and pleasures, and the pains can be really cruel. And it's rooted in ignorance. So the antidote for ignorance is knowledge. The antidote for ignorance is not just activism. Whatever activism is being done, there has to be connected with knowledge. So let's see what Bhuta Bhavana. I asked one of the organizers of that, because I found out about it from one of the organizers, Aditi, Nandasuta's daughter, Aditi. She's in college age, and she's one of the organizers of these weekly gatherings. You should tune in, because it's a hot topic, and he's going to speak about it. Racism, injustice, and Krishna. So how do you, when you have a spiritual conception, and it's not just black people. The young, I've come to hear from younger generation youth in the Indian families, they use the word brown instead of black. And they feel, you know, there's some inequality or, you know, attitudes because they're brown instead of white. And it's like, you know, it's really a hot topic with our beloved President of the United States and white supremacy and all of that stuff. So it's good to know what the very deep and thoughtful people are saying about it. So I forwarded to Saranga Thakur, I imagine you forwarded to others. Achyuta Gopi, have you heard her name? You're nodding yes, and you don't know who she is. She, like your kids, she grew up in a devotee family. She's now married and has a child, and her brother is married and has a child, and they're, you know, in the world. But she's this superlative singer. Ooh, a superlative singer. So she's a celebrity in ISKCON, and a black celebrity singer. She doesn't sing like, you know, gospel music kind of singing. She just sings like a wonderful singer. And so she submitted something on her Facebook page about how she feels about, and what's her voice about what just happened and the, you know, racism, inequality, and Krishna. It's a very touching, she's a good writer, she's a good singer. I know from her childhood, she was always in the lead role of the dramas of the kids. She's really artistic and very, very deep person. I carry on my USB stick a little folder that just has Achyuta Gopi kirtans and Badahari kirtans, those two. So maybe you can send them a copy if you haven't already. So just to tune in, because it's I'm going off in this direction because it's right here. They, Drona and Dara, wanted to witness Krishna's pastimes and activities and his giving of the bhakti message which relieves people that are born in this material world of the miserable conditions by accepting that devotional service which he propagates, which is what Bhagavad Gita is doing. Bhagavad Gita. You've heard Bhagavad Gita, right? Good. Okay. So here's another from Jiva Goswami, Krishna Sandarbha. Now here he's speaking about, this is the end of chapter 8, and special attention at the end of chapter 8 is going to how special are Nanda and Yashoda. And the beginning of chapter 9 is how special is Yashoda. It's the Damodar Leela, chapter 9. Damodar Leela, binding Krishna with rope. You know that one, right? Okay. So, text 1 through 20, he writes, in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9, 1 through 20, we find an explanation of Nanda and Yashoda's eternal parenthood of Krishna. And in this verse, this 8.49, we find the explanation of Nanda and Yashoda's previous birth as Drona and Dara. This is a contradiction, right? The seeming contradiction of these two statements may be resolved by accepting the explanation that Drona and Dara are partial expansions of Nanda and Yashoda, which we said earlier. Nanda and Yashoda are the Lord's eternal parents in the spiritual world, Krishna Loka. We may also note that the description of the eternal parenthood of Nanda and Yashoda is given after the description of their previous birth as Drona and Dara. Then he cites a rule from Vedanta Sutra. Gives the Sanskrit, 2.1.17, here's the Sanskrit. And the rule says, if there are two contradictory statements in the scriptures, the second statement should be accepted, and the previous statement should be interpreted so that it does not contradict the latter statement. It's a rule, Vedic rule. This rule of interpretation is expressed. I mean, not in any circumstance just go interpreting this and that, but here's a circumstance where it requires, you have to align the earlier statement with the second statement. So the second statement is Nanda Yashoda, their eternal parents of Krishna. There's other places where it says they're expansions of his spiritual body. That is to say, his body is Sachit Ananda Vigraha, and his body, his Swarup, expands through some potencies, and so they're potencies of his eternally, Nanda and Yashoda. Okay, now we're going to read. It's not going to be a long reading. There's Sanatana Goswami. I think I should say something about who the Goswamis are. So, oh, young scholar over here, you know who is Krishna. Do you know who is Lord Chaitanya? Not sure. Now, look, would you like me to explain who is Lord Chaitanya? Well, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna ends the whole Bhagavad Gita by saying, you know what? Everything else that I've said before, you can place it in a secondary position to one main in teaching. One main teaching is, take shelter of me. Mami kam sharanam. Alone, singularly, take shelter of me. And everything else is dependent upon that one. That's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Take shelter, surrender to Krishna. And after Krishna's departure, he began to consider, Kali Yuga began, and people aren't going to understand how to do that. So some teaching needs to be given how to surrender unto Krishna. So there's many ways I could achieve that, but the best way is if I come myself. I'll take the role of my own devotee. I'll take on the complexion of Radha. The complexion of Radha is golden, like molten gold. Krishna's complexion is darkish, like a rain cloud. Radha's complexion is golden, like molten gold. So I'll take the complexion of Radha and the mood of Radha, but I'll teach the way of how to take shelter of me and surrender to me. That's who Lord Chaitanya is. Krishna himself, in the mood of Radha and the complexion of Radha, teaching how to take shelter of Krishna. So when Lord Chaitanya appeared, he descended with his eternal associates, and they took various forms as well. And amongst his associates, there are six that are outstanding foremost associates, and they're called the six Goswamis. Now, many altars in homes and in temples, there's this little picture. Someday you probably have a picture of the six Goswamis. They resided in Vrindavan. Previously, they were aristocratic, well-educated, extremely wealthy. I mean, two of them were prime minister and home minister for a third of India under a Muslim government. And they left all their wealth and their position and everything to go live as mendicants in Vrindavan. Those two were Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, their brothers. And there were many things, from the Saraswat Brahmin family, and Sanatan Goswami was the prime minister of the ruling Nawab Hussein Shah at the time, so he could go off and conquer people with his armies while he ruled the kingdom. Very elevated person of stature, but he left it to go live as a mendicant. And the other one we were reading is a third of the six is their nephew. The two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, had a third brother who died when he was young, and his son was named Jiva. It's a nice name. So Jiva Goswami was prolific. He wrote many, many, many very highly scholarly literatures. So that's what we were reading from before, Jiva Goswami. And so the next generation after Lord Chaitanya, who didn't write books, he told them, you write the books. I'll give you the teachings. I'll give the realization of the teachings to you. You'll understand everything. Write books. Expand these teachings. So that's what they did. So now we're just going to read from Sanatana Goswami's, one of his writings that's now translated into English. If you buy the set, it's like this big on your bookshelf. Brihat Bhagavatamrita. It's like a commentary on Bhagavatam. It's other things too, but that's what it is. So he's writing just one verse. Uddhava is speaking to Krishna. Uddhava. Uddhava is Krishna's dear friend, like Arjuna is Krishna's dear friend. And they were both first cousins of Krishna. Arjuna's mother was Kunti, and Krishna's father was Vasudeva, and Kunti and Vasudeva were brother and sister. They had the same father, Shurasena. And there was another brother of Vasudeva who was named Devabhaga. And Devabhaga had a son named Uddhava. I bet he knows this Uddhava story, where Uddhava took a letter from Krishna to Vrindavan to read to the gopis. You know that story? Not yet. Okay, you'll hear about that one. But he was very intimately connected with Krishna. He was outside of Vrindavan, he is the most exalted, revered devotee of Krishna. even more than Arjuna. He was very special. So Uddhava and Krishna are having a conversation where Uddhava says, the wise Devaki shelters you while you shelter the entire world. When she heard those wicked words, she said, quote, foolish woman, what is unusual here? Sri Vasudeva and I, in our previous lives, underwent austerities to get the Lord as our son, and therefore the Lord, the bestower of all boons, accepted that role. But Nanda and Yashoda prayed to Lord Brahma for pure devotion. And this is Sanatan Goswami's commentary. Sri Krishna surely has special affection for his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, as well as Nanda and Yashoda. But Nanda and Yashoda are more intimately connected with Krishna. Here's the explanation why. Vasudeva and Devaki, in their previous lives as Sutapa and Prishni, strove to attain a parental relationship with God. When they finally achieved the Supreme Lord's audience after strict austerities for many years, they submitted to him their desire, and the Lord agreed to fulfill it. So here's a little background that I'm sure you remember, most likely you remember. Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa as the eighth child of Devaki. So when he appeared, forearmed, crown, ornaments, it's not the normal way a child appears. Full stature, everything. So Vasudeva offered his prayers to Lord Vasudeva, his son. Devaki offered her prayers. And then Krishna spoke. So this is Canto 10, Chapter 3. Krishna said several things. I've appeared many times as your son because three lifetimes ago, you were Sutapa and Prishni, husband and wife, Satyayuga, and you underwent long austerities with the strong desire to have me as your son, and I appeared in the same form before you and said, you pleased me very much by your devotion and your sacrifices, and not only I'll appear as your son, but for three lifetimes I'll appear as your son. So the first, Sutapa and Prishni. So he appeared as Prishni Garba during Satyayuga. The Goswamis of Vrindavan say that Prishni Garba is the very same Prishni Garba that appeared before Dhruva. In the Dhruva pastime, Lord Vishnu appeared, Prishni Garba, four-armed Vishnu form. Then in the next yuga, Treta Yuga, Kashyapa and Aditi had as their son Vamana. He appeared as their son. And now Vasudeva and Devaki. The Lord told later, this is in that same chapter 3, O sinless mother Devaki, after 12,000 celestial years, that's Satyayuga, in which you constantly thought of me within the core of your heart, with great faith, devotion, and austerity, I was very much satisfied with you. Since I am the best of all bestowers of benediction, I appeared in the same form as Krishna to ask you to take from me the benediction you desired. You then expressed your desire to have a son exactly like me. There's a problem. There's no one's exactly like Krishna. So, but he is expansion. commentary continues. Krishna is known as Varada Ishwara, or the best of those who give benedictions. By granting a single boon, he was able to bless Prishni and Sutapa to become his parents, not only once, but three times. But to Nanda and Yashoda, whose love for him was even more pure, Krishna bestowed a greater reward. In the rasa of parental love, they enjoyed the topmost perfection of prema bhakti found only within the realm of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Paragraph. Nanda, in the role of the Vasu Drona, expressed the unconditional purity of his love when he prayed to Brahma, which is this verse, 10:8:49. Quote, Drona to Brahma, "Please permit us to be born on the planet Earth so that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Supreme Controller, and Master of all planets will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life." Same translation. "Thus, those born in this material world may very easily be delivered from miserable materialistic life by accepting devotional service." Nanda was concerned for the upliftment of the unhappy conditioned souls. He wanted Krishna to exhibit his childhood pastimes so that the world could hear and recite them and regain the taste of love of God, which is what we're doing by Krishna's mercy. And then the next verse, when Brahma said, "Yes, let it be so," the foremost Drona, who was equal to Bhagavan, appeared in Brajapura, Vrindavan, as the most famous Nanda Maharaj, and his wife Dara appeared as Mother Yashoda. Purport. This is BBT purport. Prabhupada's writing. "Because whenever Krishna appears on earth, he superficially needs a father and mother. Drona and Dara, his eternal father and mother, appeared on earth before Krishna as Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. In contrast to Sutapa and Prishnigarbha," that was their son, "they did not undergo severe penances and austerities." They, Nanda and Yashoda, did not undergo severe austerities and penances to become the father and mother of Krishna. This is the difference between Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha. So, are you familiar with those terms? Siddha, you know, perfect. So there's two categories. Sadhana, by practice, one may become perfect. And then there's Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect. They don't have to do anything. They already are, and they continue to be eternally perfect. So Nanda and Yashoda, they're in that Nitya Siddha category. And some, like Sutapa and Prishni and so forth, they need to do something to become perfect. They had become perfect. But the perfection that they achieved, not only there's a... Perfect is perfect. It's not like I'm a card-carrying Nitya Siddha. Here's my badge. See? So it's not like that. Not pecking order kind of thing. But they're very special. They're very special in the sense that they have a kind of love that is extraordinary. And the sadhana siddhas learn from the nitya siddhas. Here's how it works. It's Prabhupada's explanation to make it really simple. Supposing some of us in this room or something, maybe supposing all of us in the room, we become perfect sadhakas somehow in this lifetime. So then what? What Prabhupada explained is, from this position, we don't just go directly to Krishna Loka, but we go to wherever Krishna is performing his pastimes in the created realm, because pastimes are going on eternally in the created realm. His Nitya Lila is being manifest somewhere in some part of the creation. And we get trained by the Nitya Siddhas in the mood and the services of, you know, apprenticeship from the experts, the eternal perfect, train the Nitya Siddhas. They train the sadhana siddhas. Nitya siddhas train the sadhana siddhas. Yes. So, the nitya siddhas are always looked up to, appropriately so. And the explanation being given here is, while Drona and Dara, well, Sutapa and Prishni and Vasudeva and Devaki and Kashyapa and Aditi, they underwent things. They became siddhas, but sadhana siddhas. But this is the distinction. The nitya siddhas don't have to do something to attain that position. So let's hear some further commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that he came many generations after the Goswamis of Vrindavan, but he is a super excellent acharya, and his commentaries are revered. So, Drona was born as Nanda in Braja, and Dara was born as Yashoda. It should be understood that they, Drona and Dara, as sadhana siddhas, entered into the nitya siddha forms of Nanda and Yashoda. Doesn't give any technology, it just says that's what happened. And then when the pastimes were concluded, they were sent back to the heavenly realm in this ecstatic mood of love for Krishna, in the prema stage, not just the sadhana siddha stage. Jiva Goswami writes, the word Bhagavan is used to modify Drona to show great respect. That person, Drona, took birth in Braja as Nanda, who became even more famous than previously. Maha Yashaha, that is, Drona became more than his situation previously. Sanatan Goswami writes, Saha indicates Nanda, not his expansion Drona. When the Lord appears as Swayam Bhagavan with his full form, his associates also appear within him in their full form. So Krishna is the source of everything. Within, just like your son said, Mother Yashoda looked inside Krishna's mouth and she saw the whole universe. So, because everything is within him. And everything that's within him includes all the avatars. They're within him. Not just like in his mouth, but everything is within him. So, when the scriptures say, in each day of Brahma, there's 1,000 cycles of the four yugas, and then comes his night of equal duration. In one of those 1,000 cycles of the four ages, so Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, and Kali Yuga, in one of those 1,000 yuga cycles, Krishna appears and goes to Vrindavan, which means in the other 999, in each day of Brahma, Krishna appears but doesn't go to Vrindavan. He's the four-armed son of Vasudeva and Devaki, and he doesn't go to Vrindavan. But he has pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka. It's very special. And Nanda and Yashoda are very special. as the mother and father in Krishna's pastimes in Braja. I'll read the sentence again. When, this is Sanatan Goswami, when the Lord appears as Swayam Bhagavan with his full form, his associates also appear in their full form. Now that's also Nanda and Yashoda, his associates. They appear to participate with him. He was born in Mathura district. He was very famous. This was indicated by his prayer. More than previously, he was famous. He was known as Nanda. This also indicates his fame, which means giving joy to all. Nanda. Mahayashaha can modify both Nanda and Yashoda. Okay, so that's... We have just a couple more verses to finish the chapter, but that's going to be Monday evening, I guess. Because this weekend we're going to do something else. You know what we're going to do this weekend?
Chanting, importance of chanting.
Yeah. This is the council thought many different ideas, but the final idea is encourage them this weekend. Have extra classes that encourage strengthening of sadhana and particularly strengthening chanting. So I thought that was a nice idea. That's what we're going to do. Instead of reading Krishna's pastimes. So I've been reading this section in the evenings, and I guess it's going to be on Monday evening. We'll continue. Just a little bit of comment and see if there's some discussion. Krishna's pastimes are very mysterious. And that's nice. Mystery, everybody likes mystery. If it was just like simple, it wouldn't be the same as it's mysterious. But the mystery has a lot to do with his potencies, moving this way and then withdrawing, and then another set of potencies moving that way, and then creating some situation and then withdrawing, and then another set of potencies. There's nothing outside of Krishna. In his pastimes, it's all his potencies just moving. There's a very important teaching, again, making reference to Jiva Goswami. One of his writings, called Bhagavat Sandarbha, he says, to understand God, there's a prerequisite, there's a requirement, and otherwise you can't understand him. And that prerequisite is God has unlimited and inconceivable potencies. Both. Unlimited and inconceivable potencies. And if one doesn't understand that, then one can't understand God. Or he wouldn't be God, because he has to have everything. If you say, well, no, he can't, then he's not God. But he has unlimited and inconceivable potencies. And once you accept that and have like a picture, then one can understand him and what he does. His form, his pastimes, his loving dealings, his creating the world, his withdrawing the creation, his showing this form and withdrawing this form and showing that form and withdrawing that form. He can manifest as 16,000 Krishnas and 16,000 palaces and do different things at the same time, at different times of the day. at the same time, because he has so many potencies that just he's just enjoying. And then when it's time, the 16,000 Krishnas become one Krishna and enter into the Siddharma assembly hall. That must be a scene. And then he leaves the Siddharma assembly hall and expands it to 16,000 different Krishnas. But he does what he does through his potencies, and he does what he does for a loving exchange with his devotees, because that's Krishna. And even the non-devotees, he does things with the non-devotees in such a way it elevates them. In the morning class, we're reading a little section, this is an example of that. Nanda and the cowherd men, they decide to observe Shivaratri. So they go to a place not far from Mathura called Ambika Vana, where there's a deity, a worshipable deity of Lord Shiva and Uma. And they perform rituals and make offerings and so forth. And it becomes late at night, so they take rest before they go back to Mathura. And while he's asleep, one big boa constrictor comes along and starts to swallow Nanda Maharaj from his feet. And Nanda starts to scream, Krishna! And everybody wakes up because they was dead at night. And they wake up and they get sticks and start beating the snake, and they have burning embers from the fire and try to burn the snake. He doesn't let go. He keeps trying to swallow Nanda. So Krishna comes, because it says he was at a distance with the other boys. He didn't want to have their play disturbed by the elders, so he went over there. He came, and just by seeing Krishna, the serpent was relieved of the curse that had come to him from sages in Vidyadhara Loka. Then Krishna placed his foot on the body of the serpent, and the Vidyadhara form appeared from the serpent's form. He gave up the serpent body and assumed his previous body. So Krishna asked, who are you? He knew who he was. He just wanted him to say what he had to say. And what he had to say was, I offended some sages, descendants of Angira Rishi. And because I offended them, they cursed me to take the body of a serpent because I was envious. And snakes are envious. So, anyway, Krishna delivered him. But Krishna wanted the Vidyadhara to explain to the citizens, not only the Brijbasis, but there are many. It was Shivaratri. There was a lot of people from all over the place. He wanted them to hear, what happens if you offend a Brahmana? Don't mess with making offenses to Brahmanas, because you could have a really big problem. Even if they don't curse you, you're going to get a reaction for offending Brahmanas. So don't be very, very, very careful. And there's many other things. So Krishna is not only kind to his devotee, this is the point, he's kind to all kinds of entities. Although it may look different, the essence is Krishna's delivering and elevating and uplifting, and he's exhibiting kindness, even when he's having combat. Like Shishupal, he gave him liberation, or Putana. Like the serpent, Putana came to kill Krishna. The serpent came to kill Nanda. And Putana became, not only she was liberated, but she achieved the eternal position of an associate of Mother Jasoda in the spiritual world. So what to speak of those who devote themselves in a dedicated way to Krishna's service? It's not like, okay, I'll just do a little, something and I'll go to the spiritual world. Not quite like that. But Krishna is very kind to all persons. And that's back to this topic of, you know, racial injustice and, you know, the response that the people, the anger doesn't remove anger, or ignorance doesn't remove ignorance. Violence doesn't remove violence. It may for some time make people sit on the edge of their seats and be more careful what they say and do. But when ignorance is there, it's gonna prevail. How do you deal with ignorance other than knowledge? And what's knowledge? Well, different people have different ideas of what knowledge is. I know some persons, they think you just build the economy up and that's all you have to do. That's it. Anything that makes the economy better, you do that. But some other people don't think that that's what real knowledge is. So what's real knowledge? That's the antidote for inequality and injustice. I mean, it's not a quick fix, but it's not a quick deterioration either. Ignorance doesn't come about, boom. It's a long cultivation of turning away from light, and then darkness prevails. And people that have knowledge understand that's at the root. The root cause, Prabhupada teaches this over and over, so I'll say it. The root cause of all suffering is ignorance. Buddha teaches the root cause of all suffering is desire. The Vedas teach behind ignorant desire is ignorance. It's desire isn't the problem. It's ignorant desire. It's the influence of ignorance. Have a desire to be, let's just say, you know, real simple language, be a good person. Of course, different people have different ideas what a good person is. Build the economy, that's a good person. So, ignorant, the root, the original ignorance is ignoring Krishna, ignoring that he who is the source of everything. And knowledge is turning our attention again to he who is the source of everything. And then that leads to a different lifestyle. Change of diet and change of how we deal with everything. Our families and the climate and the environment and other life forms and the ethics by which we lead our lives and you know, A to Z, at the whole spectrum of life centers around knowledge of the source of everything and being in that relationship. That's Krishna consciousness. Compassion follows, and so forth. And the last thing, just hearing these descriptions, like your son is hearing the descriptions. I don't know who's the one who's teaching him, but whoever the person is teaching him, he's a good student. Oh, you're the teacher. Okay. He's like a sponge, this young boy. I mean, how much he understands, that's another thing. That's okay. Just the sound vibration is purifying. And through sound vibration, the purifying, then gradually ignorance is reduced and light comes in instead of ignorance. And then there's going to be questions, you know, why this and how about that? And, he'll stump the teacher with too many questions. So then the teacher's going to have to learn more than what the teacher knows today to answer kids' questions. And it just works like that. And then, you know, I didn't even hear Krishna's name until I was a junior in college, you know, 22-year-old young man. I never heard the name. I never heard Bhagavad Gita. I didn't know how to pronounce it when I got a copy. And, you know, that's ignorance. I mean, it's not, I wasn't a bad person, I just was ignorant. But sound vibration, especially at an early stage. So, and at whatever point in time, it's a text in Bhagavad Gita like this, at whatever point in time when recognizes I've become distracted, bring the mind back and bring the mind back to light. Jyotir Gama, Tamasi Ma, Jyotir Gama. Go to the light. Stay away from darkness. But it's very simple. Prabhupada made it so simple. When you're looking at the light, when you're looking at the sun, what do you see? Light. When you turn your back to the sun, what do you see? Shadow. And there's not a third thing. So turn to the light. Turn toward Krishna. And what do you see? You see Krishna. And the darkness is back there. Now, simple sounding, the problem is we're attached to darkness. We're not attached to exactly to darkness. We're attached to things that are dark. We don't like misery, but we're attached to things that are causing forgetfulness. We're like habituated to it. So it's not that the things of this world are bad, it's just the consciousness behind the things of this world. Technology isn't bad. I used to have like this phobia of getting a computer. I thought, you know, no, I don't want to get entangled in technology. But when I understood it's useful, yeah. I mean, it didn't happen quickly. It took about 6 months. But I'll get a computer. Now I use it regularly. But using something in service to Krishna is different than being attached to something in the spirit of material enjoyment. I'll find happiness out there somewhere by objects. That's a mistaken idea. That's ignorance. We use things in service to Krishna. That's knowledge, because he's the source. And hearing the Bhagavatam's message helps restore that original position of knowledge. It's a fact. So let's see if there's some discussion. What we've been doing, it's already an hour. What we've been doing is, persons who are in the room, if you have some discussion points, we'll do that first, and then online discussion questions. So, anyone in the room would like to have some topic discussed?
Maharaj, I have a quick question. So, I know in Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned that having your spiritual master is required. How do we go into that path to find a spiritual master? I mean, at this time, right? I mean, where we are trying to devote as much as time, but what is the right path?
It's a standard question. So you're not alone asking the standard question. I'll say a couple little things, but I'll make reference. I'll send to you, because I know how to send him documents. There's a whole series of documents, links to, you know, 15, 20 different answers and different angles of that question. How do I go about it? There's a student in Singapore who I met and we're in some discussion. She's, you know, married and has children, and she's, you know, like a very intense person, it seems. And she's really fixed on the idea of, but she had some bad experience. Somewhere down the road, she found someone, and then it turns out the person wasn't qualified, and she felt cheated without the detail. So she's more cautious, but still she wants to go forward because that's what Scripture says. So I've been having some dialogue. There's a number of responses to that question. I'll send them to you. Included is a compilation that goes back probably 35 years, maybe something like 30, 35 years. A devotee named Shubhananda, he compiled everything in Prabhupada's books on the topic. The index has, you know, it's grouped according to topic. So you can click on a topic and go to where he says something about this and go back out again and then another topic. It's a long book. It's several hundred, maybe 250, 280 pages long, something like that. So you can really plunge in if you want. Then there's some other that are a little more simple. So the short is, first and foremost, in ISKCON, we want to develop a relationship with Prabhupada because he's the principal person that we hear from. He's the principal shiksha guru. So developing an understanding of who he is and hearing about him, a really fantastic way is the movie. Have you seen it? The Hare Krishna movie? There's many. Yeah. There's biographies about him, but you send them the link. And so develop an understanding of who and some sense of connection with the founder Acharya, the principal Shiksha Guru. And do that for some time. Don't worry about who's going to be your Diksha Guru for now. And just do that. And then in the course of time, you'll hear from different persons. They come and they visit and you hear and you see and you exchange. And then there's all kinds of recorded material out there, and you can hear from the recorded material. And it's, you know, it's a personal decision and a personal relationship, and where you feel that there's the Krishna connection is coming into your life through that person, and there's strong fidelity with Prabhupada and Prabhupada's teachings, because you now become familiar with Prabhupada and Prabhupada's teachings. They're transparent. And there's a Krishna connection coming through that person that tells you something. Anything?
So in our discussion today, you were talking about Nitya
Siddha. Sadhana Siddha.
So Nitya Siddha is someone who's perfect.
Siddha means perfect. And Nitya Siddha means
always perfect.
Always, eternally, past, eternally present.
So other than Krishna, is anyone else Nitya Siddha?
Sure. Nandajasoda, for example. All those who are in the spiritual, I'm going like this, that's Krishna Loka up here. All those that are in Krishna Loka, they're Nitya Siddha. But it's not only in Krishna Loka. There's Ayodhya, for example, Hanuman. He didn't become Hanuman. He's Hanuman. He's with Ram eternally in Ayodhya. He has some service for him here in this Bhumandala, this earthly realm, but he's an eternal associate, Nitya Siddha. And, you know, Dasarath and Kaikeyi, they're eternally Nityasiddhas. They don't become their Nityasiddhas, etc. Those are some examples. His associates, eternal associates in the spiritual world. Sometimes those eternal associates descend, like when the Lord performs his pastimes. With him, they descend. Otherwise, they're not manifest, or it's called aprakat, not manifest form. But in the holy Dham, Krishna's pastimes are eternally going on. In Ayodhya, Ram's pastimes are eternally going on. Because it's an eternal abode. There's some history of how Ayodhya was established, or how Braja was established, but that's the worldly pastime. The place is a spiritual place. When this universe is destroyed, that place exists. Not in a prakat or manifest form, but it's a spiritual abode. Those who reside there, they're nityasiddhas. Radha and her, the gopis are expansions of her. They're her expansions. So Radha and the gopis, they're nityasiddhas. But when Krishna performs his manifest pastimes, there are some sadhana siddhas that are getting trained up by the nityasiddhas. And they're not like, anyway, they're not card-carrying nityasiddhas. They're just, they have a quality of bhakti that's superlative. And those that are taking part in pastimes look to them and are trained by them. So, but nityasiddhas. You have something? About which?
Vishnu Garba's pastime, like when Sukapai and Vishnu gave the birth of the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord appeared at Vishnu.
There's not a lot of description about their pastimes, if that's what your question is.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of description. All that I am aware of, there may be someplace somewhere. It's not in the Bhagavatam. It may be in one of the Puranas. All I know is what I just shared, which is, like, what pastime does Prishnigarbha do with Drona? With Dhruva? They have a conversation, and he goes to the spiritual world. That's all that's said. That's all we know. No. It's forgetfulness is the conditioned state, and awakeness is the spiritual state. So you're waking up. You're half asleep and half awake. It's not artificial. The distracted mind is the conditioned state. That's what's going on. So keep the practice. It's not practice to become something that's artificial. It's practice that's awakened something that's natural but forgotten. It's not like, it can be compared, but it's not the same either. Like, let's say, a child walking. That's a motor skill. There's a time when they can't walk. And then there's the tumbling, and then there's they can walk, and then they're running. So, but, you know, because walking capacity is innate. By practice, the walking capacity, the muscle, motor skill, etc., develops. But that's material. It's a comparison to something spiritual, but something spiritual is more than just practice. It's already there. I mean, walking capacity, unless the child is crippled, The walking capacity is innate. But the spiritual capacity doesn't matter, crippled or otherwise. It's for all souls, not even just human beings, all souls, but covered. So all that you're just said is that you're in a covered state. Keep going. Do the cleansing and the uncovering part. And then it awakens naturally because it's already there. Which one?
Vritrasura.
So, I was just thinking, should I set the time for saying this prayer, or should I contemplate on that prayer the way he is begging Lord, like I should serve the servants, you should not leave me, I'm your child.
However you go about it, it's okay. Common is a daily recitation. But there's other methods. Here's another method. You just take one verse and focus on it. Take one part of one verse and do that for some time. You know, some number of days or whatever it is, a week, a couple weeks, just one part. And then go to another part and then another part. And then you go back and put the parts together. I mean, there's different ways. The goal is to enter into the mood, not just the words or the information. Enter into the heart and the spirit of the message. So there's different ways of going about it. Sanskrit recitation, neurologists have studied, has an effect of increasing memory. Did you know that? Different neurologists in different parts of the world. There's one neurologist from Spain, there's a group of neurologists from America studying Sanskrit recitation results in memory increases. Or say it the other way. When it's diminished, there's memory loss. That's called Kali Yuga. People's memory has diminished. And there's a way to restore it. But, you know, when you're older, it's not the same. When you're like these children, you know, they're sponges. They can receive and they're playful and they do different things, but it stays. So, for you, you know, different, whatever works. You find something that resonates with you personally, and that's what you should do. I like the second approach. It suits me. I get interested in a particular verse and just absorb myself in the parts of the verse, and over and over, and over and over, and then it's in here. It's not up here. It's in here. Yes.
So I can communicate to Krishna through my heart also.
Yes. Yes. Let's go online, see what's going on online.
First question is from Prakash Narayan Govindan. He asks, Srila Prabhupada writes about any actual avatar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be able to show the universal form. Krishna himself shows this a few times. Parashuram does it once, and Mahaprabhu does once according to Chaitanya Bhagavat. How about Lord Ram or other avatars? Do they show the universal form?
There's not in Valmiki Ramayana, but there's other Ramayans that speak about it. And Rupa Goswami makes mention of it, that my memory is very faint, but Rupa Goswami makes mention of it in Nāga Bhāgavatamrita, I think, or somewhere I came across it. So the answer is yes, but it's not, you know, it's not an often. Valmiki Ramayana is a feature of Ram's pastimes that most people are familiar with. It's not in Valmiki Ramayana that I'm aware.
Next question is from Sarah Priya Devadasi.
Mm.
She asks, envy cannot be used in the service of Krishna. How do we get over this envy?
Well, envy is a byproduct of ignorance. And it's an attitude of enviousness towards Krishna that results in enviousness towards others who have something that's come from Krishna that I wish I had. And so we convert our envy toward Krishna, to love for Krishna, that takes care of envy towards others.
Next question is from Sanchari Dasi. When someone possesses Brahmanical qualities but does not worship Krishna, do offenses committed to them still count? Not so much if they are just quote-unquote good persons, but by their nature they possess these elevated qualities even if they are of different faiths or no faith.
Well, different faiths is not a problem, but possessing qualities that now you see it, now you don't, is not the same as qualities that are enduring. There's an often repeated or recited verse, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair ganaistatra sama sute sura harava bhakta shukato mahadguna mato mano retena asato bahi. It's a verse where it's said that good qualities are naturally decorated upon the devotee, good qualities, exalted qualities of the demigods. However, those that are not devotees, while they may manifest some quality temporarily, it disappears quickly because it's ephemeral. It's not substantial. Substantial is sat. It's resting upon. A Brahman is one who knows Brahman, and that's sat. They know the absolute truth. So a short answer is, I'm giving an involved answer. A short answer is, different faiths is not the problem. One can be a of Brahminical quality from a different faith. That's not a problem. But so they are to be respected regardless of the faith system that they're brought up in and familiar with and abiding by. But those that are, that there's no shelter in the personality of Godhead, if we see some good quality, it's a mode of goodness quality that is also mixed with other modes of nature and disappears in course of time. So it's not the same in that case.
Next question is from Radha Kund Devadasi. Lord Krishna's eternal parents are Nanda and Yashoda. Once their pastimes are done, they will be going back to Goloka. What happens to Devaki and Vasudeva? Do they too go to Goloka?
They go to Krishna Loka in the Mathura realm. That's where they go. Because Mathura is an eternal abode, part of Krishna Loka. Okay.
Next question is from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. City life demands more time, energy, and unnecessary things. Does it mean that most of the spiritual progress will be internal?
No. You take those so many things and use them in Krishna's service. It depends on your psychophysical nature, but urban life is suited for some and rural life is suited for others. And no one can be fully Krishna conscious, like kings can be fully Krishna conscious and have very involved in worldly matters, but it's the Krishna consciousness that's important. And there's kings that are not at all Krishna conscious.
Next question is from Paramarupa Prabhu. He asks, Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter 3rd verse purport that one who claims to be Krishna should be prepared to show his universal form to confirm his claim to the people. That does not mean that an incarnation necessarily has to exhibit a universal form, as the phrase used is prepared to show. That's how I am understanding. Is this correct?
Yeah.
Next question is from Sivapriya. Maybe that's you again.
Oh.
Bharat Maharaj was in the bhava stage. Then why did he fall down?
Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sandarbha that in a previous life he had made some offense, and the consequence of offense is anartha, or impurity of heart. And because of that anartha, he felt it blocked his bhakti. Anarthas, even more than sin, because sins can be eradicated by bhakti, but anarthas have the power to block the power of bhakti. So because of that, he made a wrong choice and he fell.
Next question is from Murali Manohar Prabhu. He asks, in Gajendra's pastime, we see that the Lord personally came to take his devotee Gajendra back to his abode, as he came personally to deliver him and take him back. Are there other instances where the Lord personally came to take his devotees back?
We've been reading in earlier sessions of mention from Padma Purana that Krishna took his devotees back to Krishna Loka after the concluding of his Braja Leela. He went to Braja, spent 3 months, arranged for a charter flight, Vaikuntha Vimana, to take them to Krishna Loka. I'm sure there's others, but I don't know if it's... I'd have to give it some thought right at the moment. It's not coming to mind. Okay.
Maharaj, for Palaksh, can I ask a question? So he is scared of thunder, right? So one day it was thundering. I told, like, on my phone is Krishna's picture. He's like, no, oh, Krishna is a cloud, you know, blue color. So I had Krishna, I'll show you this picture, exactly the one in Skorn.
Yeah.
So he questioned me, like, you know, why he's black over here. But because I'm learning, he's learning that he's the cloud sky, light bluish. So...
Well, monsoon clouds... Monsoon, you know what monsoon... Rainy season is the monsoon season. And the clouds are bluish black. Here's what one of our acharyas say. What happens when you take your box of colors and you mix all the different colors and all the different colors and all the different colors and all the different colors, what's the color that results? A kind of bluish-black color. And that's Krishna's color. Okay.
Their next destination is wherever Krishna's pastimes are happening, and they go and serve the Nitya Siddhas, and Nitya Siddhas train them.
Yes.
So, I mean, is there a chance that the Sadhaka Siddhas can still get deviated from their thing and again kind of fall down?
Well, Siddha means Siddha. They didn't become fallen.
We got two more questions.
Okay.
This came in. First one's from Vishaka. She asks, Lord Krishna promised the residents of Vrindavan before leaving for Mathura that he would come back, but he did not.
He did.
Why did he not keep his promise?
He did. He went. We just discussed it. Huh?
You mentioned the chartered flight back to the Lotus.
Yeah.
Second question is from Radhakun Devadasi again. She asks, the Gnanis, whose goal is to merge into the Lord by meditating, do they really merge into the Lord? If so, how do they merge? We are individual, fragmental parts of the Supreme Lord. How is it possible to merge into the Lord?
They merge into the Brahma Jyoti, which is unlimited numbers of undifferentiated jivas. And that's what this Brahma Jyoti is.
From Murli Manohar Prabhu again. Can we consider Lord Brahma as a Sadhaka Siddha?
Yes. Anything from you two?
Look, you can ask Maharaj now.
He's thinking. He's good.
Yeah, he has a lot of wild questions.
Yeah, okay.
Like you mentioned.
Okay. If you think of something later, you can ask Mom and Dad and they'll send me the question, okay? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki?